Welcome to the Wolf Den Podcast. Here in the Wolf Den, we bridge the gap between blockchain technology and the real world. Before we get started, we need to make it explicit that this information is for educational purposes only. Think of it as a thought exercise. It is not meant to be prescriptive nor taken as financial advice. Now, please take into account that many of these audios are pulled from previous videos, content, interviews, things that we have done up to this point. Please be sure to do your research and check the date that the original content was published. If you'd like to learn more, go to wolfdencrypto.com and click join. Adaptive Dilemma Part 2, Dogmatic and Polarizing Orientation. We're going to look at dogmatic orientation versus a scientific orientation and how this informs better questions, better actions, and better processes. This concept, the language dogmatic versus scientific, came from one of my best friends that is a scientist. He's a PhD in metabolic chemistry, Dr. Trevor Cashy. So I want to make sure I give credit there. You go check him out. He's a brilliant guy, always posting helpful stuff. So a dogmatic orientation. This is where most people come from. They have rigid expectations about outcomes. When things don't go the way they expect, they are outraged and they fall into victimhood. Okay? Because reality doesn't meet their arbitrary expectations. Dogmatic orientation is governed by absolutes, all or nothing thinking. I need to lose 30 pounds by New Year's. I need to make $1 million by the end of next month. Bitcoin has to go to $100,000 in December of 21. Those are dogmatic orientations. There is an expectation about one acceptable outcome. And because reality never meets an arbitrary expectation, almost never, we become a victim. We are in a bad situation. We blame other people, influencers, whatever. Whereas a scientific orientation has a wide variety of potential outcomes with different probabilities. It is governed by risk and probability. So if you go back to the previous slides, you see how we're always saying the highest probability of turning the lights on, the highest probability of getting what we want, because there are no absolutes in a scientific orientation. Okay? There cannot be absolutes, or you will spin yourself out and become a victim, because at some point, randomness will make it so that reality does not meet your absolute expectation or demand. So scientific orientation has a wide variety of potential outcomes with different probabilities. We call this expected value. We show you how to do expected value inside of the Wolf Den. And it's governed by risk and probabilities. It is not all or nothing fact or fiction. And so it looks like this. A dogmatic orientation often has an uncontrolled and random process. Variables are not isolated. Measurements are kind of half-assed or non-existent, right? So we might say, I need to lose 50 pounds in 12 weeks. And we have no trend line, no data to suggest that that is appropriate. That makes it arbitrary. Now, over 12 weeks, you cannot isolate variables for any amount of time. You only have 12 weeks. So there's no variables being isolated. And typically, the people with dogmatic orientation just kind of do whatever. They're not measuring or managing or controlling much. However, even though their process is uncontrolled and fairly random and arbitrary, they still expect a very specific outcome, which is kind of silly, right? The result is victimhood and outrage, because things do not work out as expected. This is a harmful orientation. It's a very harmful orientation. And a scientific orientation controls the process, basically tries to create a vacuum. They isolate variables. They take trends over time, and measurements are both as accurate and precise and consistent as possible. Okay? So this is somebody that might work out, wake up at the same time every day, go to bed at the same time every day, eat at the same time every day, eat the same exact thing at the same time every day, measure to the gram, exercise at the same time every day, drink the same amount of water, right? Every single day without fail. That's a scientific process. There's still a wide variety of potential or expected outcomes. There's different probabilities, right? There's some probability that this happens, some probability this happens, low probability that this happens, high probability this happens. But there's still a wide variety of potential outcomes. And what happens when you have a scientific orientation is you learn, isolate variables, right, inputs into the system, measure the outcome, and then you can tweak the system or tweak the inputs, and you have power over future outcomes. That's helpful. It's also why we need longer time preferences to have a scientific orientation. So what's funny, I'll get into the next slide. Okay, so dogmatic orientation is arbitrary. Let me give you an example. I want to have a $1 million business. It's completely arbitrary. That's just a number that sounds good. It is not being tied back into what that actually means for you. I want to lose 30 pounds in 6 months. 30 pounds, arbitrary. 6 months, arbitrary. Unless there is a preponderance of data that suggests that makes sense for some reason, you're just making up things that sound good, right? So now we have these arbitrary, no data to support it, but an expectation of a rigid outcome. Even though there's no data, I expect this outcome, right? This outcome is a very specific thing that must happen. And if I execute on it, whether I'm diligent or not, only that outcome is acceptable. The problem is expectations are frequently violated when you come from this place. Seldom, if ever, are they met, which spins you back into victimhood. Oreos make me fat, right? This is an impulsive, destructive, and rigid system. And it's wild. The rigidity lies in the expected outcome, not in the actual process. The rigidity lies in that we expect a very specific outcome because a bunch of influencers or whatever, the internet told us that we should expect this. But there's no rigidity in the process. There's no isolation of variables. There's none of that stuff. We just expect a thing. And if we don't get that thing, it's the end of the world. Well, that's why it always feels like it in the world. And we end up in a victimhood. And then somebody will come to rescue us and blah, 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 blah. In other words, we are working against time and randomness. We are not keeping time and randomness on our side. If we need a very specific thing to happen in a very specific timeline, and there is no data to support that that is a reasonable expectation, and even if there was data, we would assign a probability to it, not an absolute. A scientific orientation is rigorous in structure and process. The variables are measured and controlled. All outcomes are conceivable and acceptable. Maybe not ideal, but they're conceivable and acceptable. Expectations are seldom violated because all outcomes are conceivable and acceptable, and sometimes they are met. This is when a hypothesis is validated. That's what the scientific process is, right? We have a hypothesis, we go through the scientific process, and sometimes our hypothesis is validated. Most of the time we learn something new. It's rational, constructive, and flexible. It's probability and risk-based, not absolute. And it is always in flux as new information becomes available. We do not pick a side and then hold on to dear life to prove that it's true. That is dogmatic. Anything that is polarizing, right? Politics, individual initiatives. They are dogmatic in that you pick a side and you just hold on to dear life to maintain that identity. That is not scientific. That is making yourself a victim because sometimes things will not go your way. Okay? In other words, we are keeping time and randomness on our side by maintaining a scientific orientation. So part of the scientific orientation is when somebody asks a question, even a really good question, the answer is it depends. The correct answer from, if you go talk to the smartest people in the world, the most successful people in the world, the best experts in the world, their answer to things is typically, it depends, because we have a scientific orientation, right? Should I have mayonnaise on my sandwich? Well, it depends. It depends, right? If I say no, because mayonnaise is gross, I am being dogmatic and I am assuming that everybody should have the same opinion that I have or the same goals that I have. Should I buy Bitcoin? It depends. Should I be in crypto? It depends. right? Yes, everybody should be in Bitcoin is dogmatic and it's incorrect, right? It is incorrect. So it depends, comes from a place of experts and, you know, people that that have awareness, understand that there are preference and binary questions, okay? Binary is yes or no. These are facts. They can be Googled. Should I have mayonnaise on my sandwich is a preference-based question. It depends. Do you like mayonnaise? What kind of sandwich? You know, do you think that combo is going to be good? I don't know. It depends on what you want. Should I buy Bitcoin today? It depends. What is your time preference? Do you understand what you are doing? Can you handle the vicissitudes of the market? If you might say no to some of those things, in which case, no, you probably shouldn't buy Bitcoin where somebody else should, okay? Based on their preferences. So when you get a question like or an answer like it depends, that is coming from a scientific orientation, not a dogmatic one. If anybody ever says, should I buy Bitcoin? You've never seen them before. Your waiter comes up to you, says, should I buy Bitcoin? And you say, yeah, you should buy as much Bitcoin as you possibly can. You are being dogmatic and irresponsible. You are putting the waiter, in this case, in a position to be a victim because they don't know what any of this is. They're just told to buy it, right? It depends. It depends. Okay, so we got to understand preference versus binary questions. Now, here is how you can ask more effective questions inside of the Wolf Den or outside of the Wolf Den. You could type it out if you want. But before you hit send, you ask, are you asking what you mean to ask? Do I want to know what crypto is, or do I want to know if I should invest in it anytime soon? And if I ask, should I invest crypto anytime soon, I would expect the answer, well, it depends. Tell me more about yourself, right? Have you made your assumptions explicit? Are you giving all the accompaniments necessary for somebody to answer that question effectively? Are you asking for a binary answer to a preference-based question? What crypto should I buy? That is totally preference-based. Should I hire a nanny first or should I hire an executive admin first? Well, that depends on if you want to spend more time with your kids or less time with your kids. No judgment either way, but that is not a binary answer. That's not a binary question. It depends on your preferences. Have you made your preferences explicit? I want to spend more time with my kids. Should I hire a nanny or should I hire an executive admin, right? So if you can make your preferences explicit ahead of time, it's easier to answer the question in a helpful way. And is the question or the conversation, is the focus on validity? Well, actually, this is how aerodynamics works, or usefulness. Hey, this is a good way to learn how to ride a bike, right? The most helpful questions are going to be focused on usefulness. Validity is mostly for academics to impress other academics. Doesn't really help people, okay? Or won't help yourself. Being more correct will not make you more useful. It will not help you make better decisions. It will only validate that you are more correct, right? So asking effective questions, this is a really good place to start. Next. I'll probably do this in the next couple days. Wolf Den, The Adaptive Dilemma, Part 3, Intro to the Adaptive Paradigm. This is one of the most important things I have ever come across and talked about, and we're going to tackle that another time. Okay, Wolf Den, Adaptive Dilemma, Part 3, Intro to the Adaptive Paradigm. In the meantime, think about journal practice asking better questions. And really going back and thinking about, am I victimizing myself? How is my language? Am I allowing others to victimize themselves? This isn't about attacking victims because that doesn't help them. This is about giving them the power back. Okay? We want to give you the power back to have control over your life, which is, you know, self-efficacy. We want you to have a level of self-efficacy. That's what the Wolf Den is about, because as crypto scales, as the blockchain grows, it's going to be very important that there's a large number of people that have self-efficacy so that they can utilize the technology in new and innovative ways that benefit them. If you use new technology the same as you used old technology, you will not get the benefit. So there's a level of self-efficacy needed to explore. right. Hope that's helpful. Appreciate you guys. Thank you again for listening to the Wolf Den podcast. Now, remember, this audio was pulled from various free, public, and private trainings by the team and even Wolf Den members. Now, we do this for free because we want to help as many people as possible. So if you found this helpful, feel free to share with somebody else. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss another one. And of course, check out the Wolf Den, wolfdencrypto.com, if you want a deeper dive.